the power struggle in North Carolina continues.
You're causing a disruption to the North Carolina General Assembly. The House is in session. I have asked you to lower your voices. If you do not, I'm going to place you under arrest.
That is a police officer today in Raleigh trying to control a crowd of protesters who stormed the state capitol. 16 have been arrested today, 17 arrested yesterday. They're angry over legislation drawn up and passed by Republican lawmakers that places checks on the power of the incoming governor, who is a Democrat. Roy Cooper won November's election by little more than 10,000 votes. He said yesterday these laws are unconstitutional.
The Republican leadership and the General Assembly has put forth a number of proposed pieces of legislation over the last 12 to 24 hours. Most people might think that this is a partisan power grab, but it is really more ominous.
Jeff Tiberi is a political reporter for WUNC. Jeff, you are at the Capitol right now. What's going on?
Well, those chants that you heard just a moment ago, those are continuing to echo from the rotunda through various parts of the building. I'm in kind of the bowels of the building, and I just ducked my head out a moment ago from our studio and could still hear chanting and cheering. Kind of the repetitive nature of this is that there are various chants, call and response chants that happen, and then the zip ties come out. Protesters one by one are being arrested, and generally cheers go up for these folks as they are led away by the police departments.
Jeff, what are these laws that they're so angry about?
Well, there are really two that have advanced and that are of the utmost concern to critics. They're going to strip the governor of power. The incoming governor is a Democrat. As you mentioned, there are Republican supermajorities in both chambers of this General Assembly. Specifically, one of the bills, among the provisions, they will remove control from the governor over the state board of election. They'll remove some of his appointments to the state university system, and they'll reduce the number of political hires that he gets to make. Now, under the current Republican governor, there are about 1,500 staff positions that he can choose or hire, and this would reduce that to 300. And one other thing of note is that cabinet secretaries, whether we're talking about the environment or health and human services, someone that was going to serve under the governor previously, who the governor he or she could just appoint, would now need Senate confirmation. And what that does with this Republican supermajority is it gives them control over who serves there, obviously. But if somebody's too liberal or if somebody has an agenda that is not in line with their ideologies, they can reject that person.
Now, the context here is that this was a very close election. It dragged on for a while. You spoke with Republican Representative Jeff Collins of Nash County, which is in the northeastern part of the state. And here's what he told you.
I think anything we can do to restore a little bit of the authority to the legislature that they gave up largely in the 1980s is making a corrective action to partially rebalance what I think is a state government that's been way out of kilter. I think our framers had it right.
What are Republicans saying here about why they did this? Because their critics would argue that the legislature never would have done this if Pat McCrory, the Republican governor, had won the election.
Right. And to that question, I did ask one of the more powerful members of the House if indeed this had been talked about or, you know, if the timing of this would have been the same were Pat McCrory to have won a second term. And he kind of coyly said, well, I don't know about the time. I'm not sure if we would have taken these up at the same time. Mm-hmm. And of course they wouldn't. Right. Of course they would not have done that. They've had a Republican governor for 4 years and they've also had these supermajorities. So they could have taken back some of these powers in recent years, but they haven't done so. We should note that the North Carolina governor is not one of the more powerful ones in the country. Huh. He or she does not have line item veto. They do have veto power. But relatively speaking, one analysis had the governor here ranked as 41st out of 50. So this removes some powers that were constitutionally under the legislature decades ago and brings them back. But certainly the timing of this, just what is it, 15 days before the Democrat moves into the executive mansion, is certainly of a real critique.
Right. Pat McCrory, of course, the lame duck, just a few more days in office, as you point out. Has he said at all whether he plans to sign these laws?
He is not, and I've reached out to his office. One staff member here at the legislature, I asked him last night, I said, how are the conversations going with the governor about these bills? And I was told some of them are going really well and some of them are going terribly. So it's early, it's fluid, it's politics, that could change. But there is an irony here, right, in that you're sending a bill that you know, adjusts government powers pretty significantly to a governor on his way out. Is he a Republican first or a governor first? And, of course, how does this impact his legacy, as many political leaders care about?
And, Jeff, really quickly, we just have a few seconds left. Do Republicans risk backlash for this in the way that Governor McCrory paid a price politically for signing House Bill 2, the bathroom bill, earlier this year?
I would answer that by noting that we will likely have special legislative elections in 2017 due to racially gerrymandered districts here. So we could know as soon as November if the voters have a short or a long-term memory and if any of those supermajorities are at risk.
Jeff Tiberi with WUNC at the State House in Raleigh. Jeff, thank you.
My pleasure.